If you'd like to follow it in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1090. It's John chapter 21. I'll read verses 1 to 14, and then Ellie will read 15 down to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said it to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pause to pray before I go any further. Well, may I ask you a question as we begin this morning? May I ask how you came about to have a faith in Christ? What were the key moments on that journey? Were there any milestones that you can identify along that path? How did it become personal for you? Jesus' very first words to Simon Peter were, come, follow me. And the last words that Jesus spoke to Peter were, follow me. Between these two challenges and invitations, we find a life that is being transformed and changed. It's not an all-in-one sudden change. As we read Peter's story in the Gospels, we find that it's a gradual change over time, if you like, a dawning of recognition as to who Jesus really is, a dawning of recognition over months and years, as Simon Peter grappled with this amazing person, Jesus Christ, and wrestled with all that he was seeing and hearing in the life of this amazing man. Just pausing for a moment, you probably know that most people come into a living relationship with Jesus over a period of time. Some come through a dramatic conversion experience, but most don't. But whether or not it's a sudden encounter or a more gradual conversion, the important thing is our relationship with Jesus. Whatever our story is, whatever the journey along our path, I think we all experience in one way or another a gradual process of recognition which takes us deeper into the mystery of knowing God in the reality of everyday life. For me, it has been a process over many years. There are milestones along the way, though I can remember the moment when I prayed a prayer asking Jesus to come to me into my heart and life when I was 17. I wonder, can you trace an encounter with Christ yourself? Peter, having been intrigued enough on his first encounter with Jesus, begins those first tentative steps of discipleship. And you may recall that very early on in that encounter, Peter's mother-in-law fell ill. And not knowing quite what to do, the disciples said to Jesus that Peter's mother-in-law was ill, and Jesus goes and heals Peter's mother-in-law. That's quite a beginning, isn't it? So from those very first tentative steps and encounters, when the Lord Jesus first entered Simon Peter's life, this hard-working fisherman becomes a new person with new goals, with new priorities. But as we see from the Gospels, he didn't immediately become a perfect person, and he never stopped being Simon Peter, but his life certainly changed. Reflecting on this, it's good to know that Jesus didn't choose perfect people to be his disciples. I find that wonderfully reassuring, and as far as I can see, he still doesn't. In one way and another, we are all faltering and flawed people as Jesus' followers. However that encounter comes about in your life and mine, we are being changed by his love. And like the first faltering followers, we too are being called to communicate the love of God, the love of Jesus, and his acceptance available to anyone, even those who are faltering, flawed, and failing. And we might ask the question, what did Jesus see in Peter when he first called him? We could ask that same question for ourselves. What does Jesus see in us, in you and me, when he first calls us to follow him? We do know that Jesus accepted Peter as he was. And in spite of his flawedness, Peter went on to do great things for God. I wonder, are we willing to keep following Jesus even when we falter and fall? Now, there isn't time this morning to follow every step of Peter's gradual transformation. However, there is a key moment when Jesus asks his disciples, who do the public say he is? And then he asked them that very direct question, who do they think he is? And it's Simon Peter who immediately acclaims, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's recalled for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. At that moment, God the Father opened Peter's spiritual eyes to recognize Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus commissions Peter to build his church. Wow, what a moment. Yet, as affirming as this must have been to Peter, it's only a short while later, as Debbie has already mentioned, that he's challenged about being a disciple of Jesus in that courtyard when Jesus is being interrogated, and that Peter denies any knowledge of Jesus 3 times. Well, let's return to the lakeside. After the disciples recognized Jesus that morning by the lake, after the amazing catch of fish, after they had had breakfast, Jesus takes Peter aside and quietly asks him 3 times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? The first question has an added phrase, more than these, which could mean at least 2 things. Do you love me, Simon, son of John, more than these other disciples? Or, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the fishing industry, the things you're used to doing? We're not told what Jesus meant. Perhaps it was both. Whatever Jesus meant, in those quiet one-on-one moments, Jesus is asking Peter to come to terms with where his love is for Jesus. The first 2 times, Jesus uses the word agape for love. That's a love that involves his whole being, heart and will. And the 3rd time Jesus asks the question, he uses a different word, which is more akin to a growing fondness or brotherly affection. Because he recognizes in Peter's response that that's where his love is. That's where his love is. And I wonder this morning, if Jesus came to you and said, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? How would we answer? Whatever our answer might be, Jesus wants Peter and us to be honest and real in our reply, so that we recognize where we truly are and how deep our love for him goes. And through the asking of those 3 questions, Jesus is effectively asking Peter to face up to those 3 denials, to recognize his failure, and to recognize that in you, Simon Peter, is a weakness when faced by public challenge. I wonder, as Jesus looks to you and me, what he would ask us to face up to. However, and this is really important, Jesus' approach to Peter in those quiet moments by the lake are not condemnatory. Jesus is not pointing the finger. Jesus is not like that image of the stern headmaster God who is just waiting with a big stick to hit us when we go wrong. Jesus doesn't approach Peter out of condemnation, but out of a very gentle and sensitive opportunity for Peter to recognize where his love really is and to provide him with the opportunity to reaffirm that love by the lakeside. Then, having ascertained Peter's response, what does Jesus do? He immediately reiterates his call and commission. Thus, when we turn to the beginning of Acts after the Ascension and Pentecost, we find Peter cowering in a corner. Not a bit of it. We find Peter courageously addressing thousands in Jerusalem and unashamedly witnessing to Jesus his Lord, and to great effect. However, even moments like this didn't guarantee Peter a trouble-free path. He still has much to learn. Everything doesn't neatly fall into place. Peter often appears to be impulsive. He could speak without thinking. And even after this recommissioning at the lakeside, Peter later found it really hard to treat Gentile Christians as equals, and has again to be challenged about his attitudes. So three times, Jesus questions Peter's love. And in those quiet moments, Peter confronts his own weakness and Jesus' recommissioning love. Peter comes to accept God's love and grace in Jesus, that God's grace held Peter and didn't condemn him as a failure. God's grace sets Peter back on his feet, giving him a future and a ministry. And Peter's faith grew. Through this encounter and all that he learned of Jesus, his faith grew, and we know that. Just read Peter's letters in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. They are powerful reading. Peter was a changed man, but he was also a changing man. And as Jesus looks to you and me today, he may see a changed person, but also a changing person. We're not yet all that Jesus wants us to be. And I think that wonderful Bible reading this morning is so illustrative of God's amazing patience, love, and grace. Even the best of us are subject to failure at times, our lives failing to be what our Heavenly Father wants them to be, reflecting the life of Jesus and the values of God's kingdom. As Paul was later to write in Romans, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And yet, in love, God calls us to account. He wants to put right what has gone wrong. He wants us to recognize those areas of faltering and failing and weakness in our lives, not to condemn us, but so that they could be changed. God doesn't stand over us like that crazy image of the headmaster. He wants us to recognize our need of Christ, to recognize where and how our lives are falling short of his best, to confess our need of love and forgiveness, of restoration. And when we do so, he does restore us. He washes us clean from whatever has gone awry and sets us, like Peter, on his commissioned path again. Cleansed, forgiven, restored, but also real. Jesus loves us as he finds us, and he wants to hold us in the embrace of his grace. And as John writes at the beginning of his gospel, Jesus is not sent by God to condemn the world, but to rescue the world. We don't deserve this kind of love, but God is love, and he wants to share his life with us, that we might share our lives with him day by day. And this Sunday morning, you and I have the opportunity of reaffirming our love for the Lord Jesus, however deep that love may be. I want to suggest that as we come forward for communion later, or just come forward for a blessing, may I invite you to quietly reaffirm your love for the Lord and ask for a new sense of his commissioning. But it may be you come this morning a bit like Peter, aware that now faced to face with Jesus, he sees you as you are. And you're suddenly aware that actually you need his love again. You need to be held again by his grace. In which case, come. Come at the end of the service. Debbie and I will pray for you. And I want to close by inviting us just to be still. And I'm going to read the words of a song that means a lot to me, and invite you to listen to these words in the quietness of your heart. Come now, tired, broken, scared, or just in need. Ready or not, it's all right. Take your time. If nothing else, just come. There's no place like his presence. There's no time like the now. Every one, two, three of us, count him in here and now. He welcomes the broken. He's all right with your past. He's not mad at any of us, but he waits with open arms, saying, come. He's already bought our freedom. He's already paid our debt. He's already done the miracle. He's already conquered death. He's our light and salvation. He's our rock solid hope. He's already done enough for us. He's already doing more. He's already seen the ending. He's already seen us through. He's already breaking out in us. He's already on the move. He's already won our battles. He's already paved the way. He's already gone ahead of us. And he is ready when we are. Come. Lord Jesus, thank you that you invited Simon Peter on that face-to-face meeting by the lake to be real about himself, to be real about his faith and his love for you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that here, right where we are, you invite us to do the same. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your invitation. Your invitation to each of us to come just as we are, because you love us, because you've paid the price, and because you recommission. Amen.